We're going to start out at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll read 1 through 5. But before we do, how many of you guys know that it seems like we're in the last days? Amen? And things sure are changing, aren't they? Amen? 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And this right here ought to just jump off the page at you. It says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And then what does it do? It commands us to do something. It says, "from such, turn away." Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We loose your Holy Ghost Spirit to have its will and way. God, we ask you just take the keys and bind every spirit that's not of you, any hindrance, any distraction. And God, we ask you just to anoint my tongue, body, soul, and mouth to speak only your words. Open the hearts and eyes and ears of the people here today that they receive from you and not from man. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. So we see that it says that in the last days perilous times shall come. So we have a whole list that's telling us what the last days are going to be like. So newsflash, it ain't going to get better. It's going to get what? It's going to get worse. And I've just kind of went over some of these. I'm not going to go over the whole list, but I'm going to give you some definitions of kind of what it is. Covetousness means fond of money. So people are just going to be lovers of money. They're always going to want money. Unthankful means ungrateful. So people, not only they have a fond for money, but what they do have, instead of they become unthankful and they're ungrateful for what they have, and they always continue to want more and more and more, and it's like they can't ever get enough. They want to covet everybody else's possessions, everybody else's belongings. They put themselves on a social scale, and they look around at everybody, at what everybody else has, and they think they have to measure up to that level in order to feel good about themselves. Okay, so do they have their mind on God or do they have it on the world? And people become oppressed and depressed because they don't have what somebody else has, and then they work to obtain it and they strive to get it, and they just keep going on and on and on. And he says, you know what? They're not only coveting other people's possessions, but now they become unthankful for what they even have. Unthankful for the food that God's placed in their mouth. Unthankful for the roof they got over their head. Unthankful for the clothes they got on their back. Unthankful for what health that they do have. Unthankful for the life that God has given them. Unthankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shared for them. But they can't focus on their salvation because they're too busy coveting the world, and they want to have the world so everybody can lift them up, make them feel good because they have a low self-esteem, and they can say, "Wow, you have such a big house. Wow, you have such a nice vehicle. Wow, you have so much money. Wow, you must be important." Well, in the world's eyes, that may be important, but in God's eyes, he's not looking at any of that. And it says in the last days, that's what's going to happen. People are going to be focusing on the things of this world, and they want to compare themselves to everybody else. And when they compare themselves to everybody else, the devil uses that to make them feel less of a person, to where they feel empty inside and they don't feel good enough, and they say, "Well, you know, I just wished I had a life like that, and I just wished I had more, and I just wished I could, you know, have that type of life. Man, they sure are lucky." And they don't realize that the God, once he gives you the Spirit of God, you learn to be content with what such things you have, and you say, "You know what? I'm glad for what I do got." Why? Because there's so many other people around that don't have what I have, and instead of me being unthankful and ungrateful, I'm going to be thankful for what I have, and I'm going to tell God, "Thank you for everything you do for me." We're in the last days. Truce breakers. One who violates a truce, a covenant, or engagement. What happens now? People's word is no more further good and you can throw it. They make a covenant with you. They give you an agreement. They tell you one thing and then they do completely the other just as soon as it doesn't no longer benefit them. They break that covenant. They break the truce. They go about and say, you know what? That's over. We ain't doing this no more. And they'll find every single excuse they can find to blame you for their own faults in order to break the covenant that they've got with you. Business deals today, people don't honor them. They say one thing and they do another. After that it says false accusers. What's a false accuser? A false accuser is a slander. False accuser is somebody goes around and points out everybody else's faults to try to make themselves look good about themselves because they don't feel good about themselves and they don't want everybody to look at them and realize that the problem isn't with everybody, it's really within themselves, but they don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit that the problem is within themselves, so they want to go out and slander everybody else and make everybody... You know what? Another thing for a slander is a gossip and a busybody. And they're always pointing out everybody's faults. Well, they have this fault, and you have this fault, and you have this fault, and they're doing this, they're doing that. But they will not yet once turn their finger back to themselves and say, look at the problems that I have. Because they, to them, they don't have no problem because it's everybody else's problem. Are you understanding? It's never them. It's never I messed up. It's never I did wrong. It's never, you know, it's me. It's always it's somebody else. And they begin, well, don't say nothing, but I'm going to tell you the reason why this, that, and the other is because of this, and that. But don't tell anybody anything. And that's a slander in spirit. Because what you won't go to somebody's face and tell them, listen to me, church, and those that are listening by camera, if you cannot turn around and tell somebody to their face, you ain't got no business turning around talking behind their back. Don't be a slanderer, a busybody, or a gossip. If you've got the audacity to speak behind somebody's back, have the courage to go to their face and tell them first. Amen? And I'm trying to get through the list. Despisers of good men. And what does despisers of good men? It's an intense disgust for good men. Have you ever noticed nowadays... they have an intense disgust for the church. A intense disgust for those who truly serve God. A intense disgust for people who want to come and worship. They'll find every reason to close a church down. They'll find every reason to burn a church down. Okay? But they won't find any reason to come to church to get the prayer that they need in order for God to help restore our nation, our country, and restore our life and restore our health and remove the plague that's spread all over the world. So when we come to worship God and have fellowship with God, it's like, oh, they're having church. Oh, it's like that's some horrible thing. And the Bible tells us it's despisers of those that are good. I cannot believe you went to that church house. What is the difference in people going out and doing everything else when you walk into Walmart and you can't, you got to be like, hey man, give me 6 feet. You all up in my space. And you can't even go nowhere. But it don't stop you from going and getting groceries. If you look around, this church is plenty big enough and there's plenty of people spread out enough and there's nobody sitting on top of you. And if they do, say, please respect my privacy, God bless you. And you tell them to get up off of you. But people have got, if you carry the name of Jesus nowadays, it's like you got a plague on you. It's like, oh my goodness, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, you're a holy roller, you think you're better than us. You're all the time judging us. You think that you're something special. I just don't believe God would do this. I don't believe God would do that. I don't believe God would say that. I don't believe God would preach that. Who are you to try to tell somebody when they living in sin going to try to tell a Christian person what God is going to do? What that? You ever notice they know more about God, the sinners know more about God than the people that go to church? And their favorite scripture is, God says don't judge. And the other one, when they're broke, don't the Bible say you're supposed to give, brother? Boy, they know them two right there now. But, you know, they forget about the one that says, don't forsake the fellowship of the brethren. Okay? And for the alcoholics, be not drunk on wine, but be filled full of the Spirit. They don't know that one. See, they don't know about all these right here about truth breakers and covetousness, and, you know, because as long as somebody's not a spun out prostitute, alcoholic, or a drug addict, they think they're something special. Why? Because I have a big house, a big car, and I got a bank full of money. That makes me somebody. And it don't make any sense. Amen? It says traitors. Traitors are betrayers. People that claim one thing and then they betray you. They turn their back on you. They stab you in the back. People that goes back to making a covenant with you. Now relationships and marriages don't make it very far because people are betraying one another and sleeping around on one another. Now business deals, instead of a firm handshake, you got to have a 12-page contract because somebody's going to break it. People says, I'm going to be with you till the wheels fall off, and as soon as the tire gets loose, they jump out the car and gone. Man, I thought you were on my side. And they're the first one to do what? Trade you. Your best friends that claim to be there for you are the same ones that's pointing the finger, and they betray you and tell all your secrets to everybody, and you're the one that trusted them not to tell anybody. Amen? We are in the last days, and the sick thing about this whole entire list, you know, I'm going to tell you what it is. The sick thing about it all is the very last one. It says, having a form of godliness. So it ain't just talking about the nasty people only of the world. It's talking about people who come to church. Come on now. Having a form of godliness. Their religion is only in their formal confession of faith and not in their hearts. They're stuck in religion. So they confess out of their mouth, oh, I love the Lord. And that's about as far as it gets with them. Because their heart is not full of God. It's not full of truth. It's not full of righteousness. It's not full of, I want to please you, God. It's not the kind that says, oh God, I want to serve you because please don't send me to hell. It's not about that. It's God, I love you so much, and I don't want to make you ashamed of me. I don't want to make you discouraged with me. I just want to please you. I want to make you happy. I want to show you that I love you. I want to show you that I'm thankful. I want to show you that I appreciate you, God. I want to show you that everything you've done for me, Father, I'm 100% appreciative of that. And I just want to please you and make you happy because I love you. See, that's having the relationship. The other one is a church Sunday goer that says, well, I guess it's about that time. I got to go show up. Hope the pastor's going to preach something. And they want to pick the whole sermon apart, pick everything apart. It's too hot. And the church pews too hard. And the pastor preached too long. Or they didn't pray the best music. Or, they didn't give me a warm welcome when I come in. And act like it's an a la carte where you just pick what religion and what you want. And then they just choose. They can find something to just pick it apart. Guess what? Newsflash. You're a religious person. People in the old days, they followed Jesus for 3 days out in the desert to hear the Word of God. I don't think they had air conditioning and heaters, and I don't think they had nice benches with pews on it with little cushions. I don't think they turned around. They didn't even have stuff to eat. He said, look, they're growing weary. He said, what are we going to feed them? And well, here's some fish, you know. We can give them a little bit of this and some bread. But not only did he feed them, he fed them also the Word of God, but they were hungry and thirsty for righteousness. People are not hungry and thirsty for righteousness no more. What are they hungry and thirsty for? Let's get rich. Let's look important. Let's look famous. Where is the hunger and thirst for righteousness? Where is the love of God? It says, have a form of godliness. Let's go to church and play the part. Ooh, I'm the best hypocrite here. Boy, I got it going on. I can outdo you. I can outpraise you. I can out-amen you. I can outdress you. I can look the part. And as soon as you walk out the door, you know you'll turn right back to your sin and right back to your ways of trying to live a worldly life. And then when you see somebody that's a Christian, you say, I just love the Lord. But when they get around worldly people, guess what? People don't act like they love the Lord. They become ashamed of God. Like Peter denied Christ, guess what? They deny Christ. Instead of saying, hey, don't talk that way in front of me, please. I don't like that profanity. They allow it to continue. Instead of listening to garbage and gossip, instead of saying, hey, that's none of my business. I really don't care to hear that. God bless you. Well, I'll pray for them. Maybe that's what you should do. They say, tell me more. How can people have a form of godliness and expect people who really hunger and thirst for the world, who are full of hurt and pain and suffering, to come to a place to get what they need if the whole church is full of hypocrites? Come on now. I ain't going to church. Why? Because I seen them just at the club last night. And then they at church over talking about hallelujah and act like they haven't been getting full of spirit. I seen them at the family barbecue. They was drinking more beer than I was. You understand? People don't realize that what you do on the streets represents what you do in your church. And not only represents what you do in your church, it represents your testimony. And not only does it represent your testimony, it represents God. You are ambassador for Christ. Your job is to help people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's not about religion. It's not about, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, well, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Mormon, I'm a this. It ain't about none of that. Why do you think we don't have none of that on our front door? What are you? Jesus Died for You Ministries. What do you believe in? Jesus died for you. What religion are you? We're not. We're about a relationship. What is that? We try to teach people how to have a relationship with God and leave religion out the door. Amen? We don't want a form of godliness to come in and cause people to fake that. We want a form of godliness that is real and have a relationship with God that when people see us, it's not just a form, but it's reality. And it's like, man, that's real. It's not just a form of, I'm playing the part. Do I look good? We don't want a form. We want the reality. We want the real. We want the raw. We want the uncut. When people see us, they say, man, that's the real stuff right there. Amen? That's that chain breaking. That's that curse breaking. That's that family curse removing up out of people's lives. That's salvation. Do you know people don't even believe in healing no more? When you speak about demons, they say, I don't believe in all that. The devil don't want you to believe in demons. He'd rather you have a form of godliness. We don't want that. We want the real stuff. Amen? But how many churches are preaching the real stuff? Amen? It's not. And then it goes on to tell us something else. What does it say after having a form of denying the power thereof? That's the Holy Spirit. It tells us to do something. From such, turn away. Boy, tell me that ain't a cold reality check to you. From such, turn away. It says, why does the Bible say that? It says, because if we spend time with people like this, either personally or by allowing them to entertain us, they will have an influence on us. And you remember when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:13, it says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good manners. So it won't be long before you become religious and you begin to think the way they think and you begin to have a religious life. Birds of a feather flock together. Whoever you're around is going to be what you become. I tell my son, I said, show me your friends and I'll show you what you're about. And I tell you the same thing. Show me your friends and I'll tell you what you're about. You can turn around and bad company will corrupt your good manners. That's why he tells us to stay away from people who ain't trying to do the right thing. It's not that we're better than them. It's not that we're judging them. It's not that we think that we're high and mighty. It's we're staying away from them so we don't backslide and become some religious person that comes to church who's fake. You understand? I can't hang around with you. Why? Because you're going to cause me to mess up. Well, I go to church every Sunday. Yeah, you're the one that my pastor was talking about. He's the one talking about you. You don't want to go every Sunday, but then you still do everything wrong Monday through Saturday. He said, you can't do that. Well, my pastor says it's okay. Yeah, and guess what? We're going to get to that part next. We're going to get to them kind of people next. But our pastor tells us what? It's not that I'm judging you. It's not that I'm better than you. It's not that I don't love you. It's the fact that I don't want to be back in this place that I was. I don't want to be tormented in my mind. Do you understand that? Do you like depression? Do you like oppression? Do you like your mind being tormented? Do you like being stressed out? Do you like being worried? Do you like fear? Do you like all that nasty stuff? Guess what? Those are demons that are tormenting you. Oh my God, he said the demon word. What do you think they are? Why do you think you go to the doctor and your happy pill don't fix it? Because they're evil spirits, man. And people don't want to preach about that because, oh my goodness, that is just too intense for me. Wow. Ooh, that's, I don't know about your church. That's a crazy place. I'll tell you what, we have freedom from that mess up in here. You get delivered when you up in here. You get the word of God that what you need. And you say, you know, what do I do? You bind it. You get taught how to fight it. When you have them thoughts, you say, oh, whoa, well, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. My pastor done told me where that's coming from. That ain't coming from God. Get on away from here. And negative people to come around you, it tells you to what? Stay away. Why? Because they will breed that mess up in your head and have you thinking the same way they think. You're like, I don't know why I feel this way. Because you just fed yourself full of it. Having a form of godliness, but stay away. It says stay away. What is that saying? If you're going to be fake, then stay away from me, man. Why? Because I don't need your garbage over here in my plate. I want the real stuff, not the form. I want the good. Do you understand? It's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't... Well, you used to love me. We used to hang out. I used to be in sin. Well, we both even went to church together. Yeah, because we were faking it. And then some people say, well, I went to church and it just didn't help me. You know why it didn't help you? Because you continue the lifestyle that you were living when you started going to church. Does that make sense? Well, I'm going to church and I want God to help me change. And I'm waiting on a miracle. I'm waiting on Him to change me. But I'm not going to do anything to help Him with that change. He's got to show me that He's a real God. He's got to show me that He loves me. He's got to show me that He's going to... I want to see a sign. I'll give you the sign that you're seeking. It's called Jesus Christ. You don't remember them videos when they were putting Him on the cross and raising Him up and His body was all beat up and bladdered and blood coming all out of Him and He was whipped? Guess what? There's your sign. He done showed you a sign. He done showed you He paid the price for you. He done showed you that He gave you deliverance. He done showed you that He's there for you and loves you when nobody else would love you. Traitors, backbiters, devourers. When you hit your low spot, I want you to ask yourself, who was really there beside me? Who really had my back? When you're crying out to God at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning because you can't call nobody else, who was really there to still listen to you? God was. What big of a sign do you want? So having a form of godliness and it tells us to stay away. Stay away. Don't cast your pearls to swine. If they don't want it, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Look, man, I'll keep you in prayer, but that ain't for me no more. I'm going to church. Will people come against you? Yes. Your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your children, everybody. When you start serving God, they gonna think you cuckoo in the head. Amen. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They gonna think you done lost it, boy. They were like, what in the world is wrong with mama? She done lost her mind. She done told me to turn off my radio. She won't let me cuss. She won't let me smoke. She said, get the devil out of her house. What? She must be a part of some cult. Daddy done said he gonna hit me up my head if I talk like that again. We should not want to have all... You can't... Thank you, Jesus. You come to church and you receive of God and it makes you feel good and it gives you what you need and you leave here on cloud nine, you're like, yes, I feel good. Man, that was amazing. That was a good sermon. Woo! Boy, I felt like the pastor was talking right to me. I was getting mine. It felt great. Well, guess what? The same way you come here to get spiritually fed, when you go around evil people, guess what the devil's doing? They're feeding you all their garbage. And that's the reason why you feel nasty and feel negative and feel depressed and feel down and feel out and feel stressed and feel worried. Because you feel it. You allow them people to that you allow them to fill you full of garbage. Instead of saying, whoa, wait a minute. But I need a friend to talk to. Well, I can't help you with that, but I got a pastor who can. He that's his job. God gave him a calling for that. Here's his number. You need to call him, girl. You need to call him. Believe me, you need to call him. Get you the help that you need. Because if you listening to them, guess what? They're going to get you to believe in the way they believe it. Next thing you're going to look at your husband. You probably cheating on me too, just like her husband cheating. I'd hit you upside your head if you come up now. He come in the house from work, you ready to beat him up. And he didn't even do nothing. Amen? Why? Because you done been listening to your friend all day long. She done put all the crazy in your head. And you say, I don't know why I'm thinking these thoughts. I do. This is the kind of church you need. Why? Because it's going to help you for battle when you walk out these doors. It's not about just coming to church and say, oh, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. No, we got too many of them, and they putting a bad taste in Jesus' mouth, and they make a bad taste in everybody else's mouth. They not only fake and come to church, but they might as well stand up in the sign in front of the church and say, don't come in here, we all hypocrites. They blocking people who really won't help. They blocking them. Because other people ain't even going to walk in the door to give it a chance because they done seen everybody in the church doing evil. So they're like, man, I ain't going to that church, boy. Such and such goes over there. It's a form of godliness. They mess it up. And somebody else could come in here and get really what they need and still and be looking at you and be like, they've been going there for 10 years and they still doing that? I'm going to have to pray for them. Amen? Don't be a hinderer. All right, I got to move on. Okay, now let's look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to look at 3 and 4. This is what happened when people began to reject the truth and they continue to go to church and they don't want to listen and do what God wants them to do. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned away to fables, to stories, to lies. So there'll come a time when, guess what? They won't even want to hear the truth. They don't even want to. They won't endure the sound doctrine. They only want what tickles their flesh. They will increase in what? In their lust and sins, and they will add one teacher to another or wander about from one church to the next church, trying to find someone who will not insist on their getting rid of their sin. Give me a church where they can make me feel good and not really make me insist on me getting rid of my sin. Amen. They want somebody that will tickle their ears and make them feel good about themselves, and that will allow the passions and desires all in the name of religion to say, okay, it's okay for you to do that because you're only human. It's okay for you to do that because God loves you. It's okay for you to do that because God understands. It's okay for you to do that because God knows your heart. That's the most dangerous thing you could say right there. Because God does know your heart. And He knows it's hard like a stone. It ain't soft. Amen. That's something that can really be bad. They turn away their ears from the truth, which strips them of the sin and demands their wholehearted concentrated to Christ. They turn to fables and false religion, and they pamper their flesh to condone sin. So they continue to just go someplace where it's okay to do these things, or where the pastor ain't preaching such a great hard message, a great message, where it has zero conviction, that they go in and they say, well, at least I went to church. I got a whole lot out of it. Boy, the praise and worship was really great. What'd you get out of the message? Well, I really didn't hear the message. You know why you didn't hear it? You know why? It's because you turn around and you don't want to hear it no more. The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. They can sit right up in this church and the sound doctrine can come out and I can say, what'd you get out of it? Well, I didn't get nothing out of it. Well, that tells me right there, you're not enduring sound doctrine. You didn't get nothing out of it because you didn't want nothing out of it. When you came in the door, you didn't want to receive. When you came in the door, you had your mind made up that you were just coming to be here, sitting on a pew. You had your mind made up that you wasn't ready to receive after God. But what do you want? You want to find some place where you can go church after church after church and find one that'll finally meet your needs. And it's not hard. There's probably 15, 20 churches right here. If you don't like this church, you can throw a rock and hit another one. Eventually, you'll find one. They got homosexuals. Oh, they got one for them. Get high. Yeah, they got one for them. Come and drink coffee and sit on the pews and have your coffee and your donuts and have great messages about feeling good about yourself. They got those. And on the way out, they'll sell you a book for $20 to help you with your jacked up mind. That ain't going to do you a bit of good. Why? Because they ain't telling you how to get the devil out. They're just going to teach you how. They're going to teach you how to read a book and give you some temporary sanity as you read. And you're going to try all these new thoughts and new ideas. That ain't going to help you, because the truth is, you got a devil. See, it got real right then, didn't it? But hey, I went to church. I went to church, man. I went to church. If you truly want peace and you truly want joy and you truly want happiness and you truly want to be delivered from them type of thoughts of oppression and depression and worry and stress and fear and the worldly ways, then you got to give up the world. You got to let it go. You got to die to your old self. You got to say, you know what? I no longer want to be a part of that no more. I choose to serve God. I don't care who don't like it. I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care. I know that I want to feel the love, the joy, the peace, and happiness that only Jesus can give me. He said, well, how do I do it? You hit your knees and you begin to beg God to forgive you and deliver you for all your sin. And once He does, you don't go return back to it. You stay away from it. Like we said, what did it say? Stay away. God, I love you. I want you to give me peace. He gives you peace. And then you run out there and go right back to doing the old stuff you're doing. What you think's going to happen, man? What'd you do with that peace? You just traded it to the devil for something. The devil came by and he says, I know what's going to get you. Here you go. You just got out of church? Yeah. You got that peace? Yeah. Here you go. I'm going to give you this. Take this. This is going to make you happy. And whatever your sin is, you're going to reach out and grab that sin and you're going to give him your peace that you just got from Jesus. And once that pleasure of this sin rubs off, guess what comes with it? Hurt, pain, and misery. You traded your peace for temporary pleasures. And you can't figure out why it's happening. Amen? He tells us they will not endure sound doctrine. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and believe stories. You ever heard nowadays when they have preaching, what's the first thing they do? They tell you a story. And they make it sound all interesting. Why? So they can gather your attention. So once they get you on attention, you're like, oh, that was a great story. And then they throw a couple scriptures in there, and then they close after they take your money, and you done forgot everything but the story. And you didn't hear nothing else they said. Amen? And it says you have itching ears for that. What do we say? It says they would turn their ears away from the truth. What's the first thing we pray when we're in church? We say, God, open the hearts and eyes and the ears of the people here today that they receive from you and not from man. I don't want you to receive from me. I want you to receive from God. So what are we doing? Why do we say that prayer every time? So we stick our fingers in your ear and clean out the earwax and make sure that you be able to hear the truth. Amen? All right, I got to move on. It says, we have to avoid the religious lifestyle and stand fast on the truth. If you go to 2 Thessalonians 2:15, the Word of God says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to traditions which have been taught, whether by word or epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. Praise God. So we learned that, one, we have to stand fast. When I look at the word stand fast, it says we have to refuse to abandon one's opinion or belief. So once we believe in the Word of God, we have to refuse not to believe in nothing else. And like, you know what? I know I'm going to stand fast. I know what I believe. I'm going to hold firm. I'm going to stand firm. And I'm going to insist that this is what I know, and ain't nobody going to make me be no different. Amen. We must be led by God and deeply rooted in the truth and refuse to compromise the gospel of Jesus for false religious ways. We have to say to ourselves, I know the truth. This is what I'm going to stand firm in. I'm going to believe in God. I'm not going to let anybody move me. This is my church. This is my belief in God. This is who I'm going to be. And people who really love you will accept you for who you are. They will see you, and you will be a light that shines for them. The person that, you know what, your son, your daughter, whoever in your life may not ever set foot in a church, but if you turn around and they see your life out when you leave a church and they see the love of God in you, you may be the church for somebody out there. So you have to stand firm, and they have to see you being real. Because a lot of them's looking at you and they say, oh yeah, she'll be back to what she was doing. Give her a couple weeks. He'll be doing what he was doing. Give him a couple weeks. They'll be right back over here doing the same stuff. But you have to stand firm and say, you know what? I'm not doing it. I've got my love. I've got my joy. I've got my peace. I got my happiness. And I'm full of God. And I don't want nothing else. And I know that this is what makes me happy. And if you truly love me, you will support that. When you come to my house, you won't bring that nastiness to my house. When you're around me, you won't bring that gossip to me. When you're around me, you won't play that type of music around me. When you're around me, they will respect you, amen. It's like, well, I don't believe in your God. That's fine. That's between you and him. But I do believe in your devil, and I don't want no part of him. So if you're not going to listen to me about my God, then please don't try to preach to me about your devil. I find it funny, me and Johnny's school, we had a big old fight because they thought it was appropriate to listen to all types of worldly music, but they wouldn't play Christian music. I said, how is it that you can play worldly music, but you can't play Christian music? Well, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. I said, well, your music's offending me and my son. And I refused to let him listen to that. He's not going to class to listen to your devil music. He's going to class to learn. Now you turn that mess off. And we had to go up to the head, what was it, superintendent? Was superintendent, and tell him, look, we got an attorney and I will sue you. So they went and got an attorney, and the attorneys turned around and told him, said, look, inside of class, you can't force him to listen to that. They had to turn it off. But parents won't take a stand, and like we said right now, stand fast on what they believe in. How is it okay to play worldly devil music, but you can't play Christian music? You understand that? As you leave here today, I want you to tell yourself this. Do I want the evil and all the evil stuff that the devil has to offer? Or, listen to me. Do I want my love, my joy, my peace, my happiness that the Spirit gives me? And in the Word of God, it says the good hope through grace, and it tells us it's going to do something, doesn't it? It says comfort your hearts. Do you want the comfort in your heart? Aren't you sick of the pain? I want the comfort in my heart. And then not only will it do that, it says establish you in every good word and work. So it will establish you and make you a stronghold to where you will do every word will be good and your work will be good. And when people see you, you will be representing God and you will bring a good testimony instead of shaming Him. Now as we leave here today, we don't want to be some religious backslider. We don't want to be a religious hypocrite. We don't want to be somebody that is going through the motions. We don't want to be somebody who's claiming one thing in church and on the street living another. We want to be real. In our home, around our family, in our job, in our workplace. And when people strive and come against us, we have to do what? What it tells? Stand fast. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to love one or hate the other. You can't have both. You can't have all of God's promises. Hang on to the promises, but have all the world's pleasures. Pleasures and promises don't work. You want God's promises? Let go of the worldly pleasures and allow God to give you the peace that comes from Him. You got it. All right, let's all stand. Boy, that was good. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we leave here today, help us to not only not take part in the backbiting, devouring, traitor, gossiping, being two-faced and covetousness and loving the world and being greedy, but God, help us, Heavenly Father, to surrender ourselves over to you. And God, help us not to have a form of religion, but to be real, to have when people see us, they see the real thing, dear God. Help us to represent you in spirit and in truth. And God, help us to flee from evil and have no part of it, God. And God, when we receive you, help us to not be moved. Help us to, when we're persecuted for your name's sake, help us to stand fast and God, not be tossed to and fro, but to stand on the Word of God and say, you know what? I know who's going to be there for me when nobody else is. And God, help us to receive the love and the joy and peace that can only come from you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.